Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. So today is Wednesday. I'm not even sure what day it is.
Thursday?
I don't know. Anyway, we welcome you to the show. Here's Michael.
What can you say? When you're on the road, time gets away. Anyway, we're delighted that you're all with us. We're honored to have this opportunity to share the next hour with you. And as we do share that hour, to look into the dynamic of the first century process of forgiveness out of the Aramaic language. And thinking about how to open the show today and recognizing that perhaps the purpose of life is simply to show us the content of our minds. If you've ever said, why is this happening to me again? Whatever the again is about is happening to you again because that content is in your mind, the thoughts, the feelings, and whatever it is that's taking place is resonant within yourself. The events outside only elicit what's there. And if the purpose of life were to just show you the content of your mind and give you the opportunity to say, yeah, I like this content, I think I'll live with this, or say, you know, this content isn't so healthy, this content really doesn't serve me, I think I'll change it, then it behooves you to begin to change the content of your mind. In the ancient Aramaic language, the word forgive is the major tool that's used to change one's own mind. And, of course, the definition of forgiveness was changed, it looks like probably somewhere back in the first century, into a Greek idea of pardoning. Ah, you did something terrible. You caused all this pain inside of me, but it's okay. I'll forgive you. I'll let you off the hook. Which, of course, when I do that and call that forgiveness, I've left the content of my mind exactly as it is. When I recognize that if I choose to pardon you for what you've done, if you do something crazy, off the wall, inappropriate, and I'm in pain, I may say to you, you know, I just let you go. I'm going to release you and let you just do whatever it is you choose to do. But in the meantime, I appreciate the fact that what you did showed me some content inside of me that is painful. My response to what you've done is that of trauma and drama and pain. And so now I'm going to engage in forgiveness. I'm going to go inside of myself, find the part of me that produces that drama, that trauma, that pain, and I'm going to change that. There is a step-by-step technology for doing that, something that took us many, many years to understand and decode from the Aramaic. And now our choice is to share it as freely as we possibly can, ultimately with the commitment of taking it to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So the word forgive, as it was originally taught, is how to go inside of yourself when your mind is producing something that is painful and change that painful content, how to access what's been hidden and learn how to remove what never belonged and replace it with what does belong. And, of course, then the question becomes, well, what does belong? I think we can easily establish that by simply holding a newborn child. Everyone we talk to, everywhere around the globe, been doing this for many, many years, and asking the question, how many have ever held a newborn? Describe for me the essence of your newborn. And everybody's word is some variation on the theme of sweetness, of love, of beauty, of transformational. That just that simple presence is so transformational. I can remember the day my daughter was born. My son being born was an awesome experience. He was born at home, and it was just amazing. But my daughter took things to a whole new level. As she delivered into my hands, she opened her eyes. Now, of course, they're not supposed to be able to focus at that age, but she opened her eyes totally, completely, 100% focused on my face and grinned at me. I'll offer that literally changed my perception. It changed my reality. It changed my experience of life in an instant into a state that I'm always looking to reconnect with, because it was such an awesome, awesome presence of love. And when you recognize that that's human life and that that's what belongs in our experience, everything else that comes to us, whether it comes to us genetically or through our environment, is a cheap copy of life. And so in the ancient Aramaic, they understood, the words were said, you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother. Now, that idea translated by the Greeks makes it sound like, you know, kind of a bleeding heart. You forgive from your heart whatever it is, the terrible things your brother has done. You know, you just, from your heart, you forgive them. You let them off the hook for that. But when you start to reconnect with the first century Aramaic meaning of those words, first of all, you understand that the word heart means the unconscious or the dissociated mind, place from which your perception comes. And if your perception holds some form of hostility or fear, and your brother happens to resonate or activate that in you, then that hostility or fear shows up in your mind, integrated into your brain's image of your brother, and you think it's your brother that's the problem. So what Yeshua is saying is, you must remove from your own unconscious mind that which you just put into your brain's image of your brother. It wasn't about letting your brother off the hook. It wasn't a bleeding heart statement. And so if your physiology is still capable of producing some sort of grief, rage, pain, sadness, hatred, vengeance, then your work is that of presencing love while you access and remove what's been hidden inside of you. And that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to bring about in the world. And ultimately to make available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. The purpose of our radio show each day, the purpose of being available. You know, Dr. Tim shared with us the last couple of days since we've come back just how much of a challenge it is to be there right at the phone and ready to start the show and right there till the last second. Well, life on the road, being on the road and keeping up with that, with all the different situations we find ourselves, is really quite interesting and quite a challenge. And the reason we do that is so that we create support for people long-term. People who really want to integrate and do their work need support. And we're here to do that. That's the purpose of our show. And you can go to the archives of the show on our website, which is www.whyagain.org. And if you look under the radio show, you'll see archives, and you can listen to hundreds and hundreds of hours of shows where we've explained the nuances of forgiveness and many of the other tools that we teach, where people have called in and dealt with issues that go from the gamut, anything you can imagine, life-threatening situations to, you know, the simplest little examples that tend to get people stuck in their own internal states of mind, thinking that the problem is outside of them. And what the first century Aramaic forgiveness process does, the tool, is it bypasses the perception that the problem's outside of you and shows you, gives you access to the place where the problem really is. You know, one of the tongue-in-cheek lines I love to deliver often in my workshops is, you'll notice if you've been through a particular problem 87 different times with 42 different people, you're the only one that was there every time. If you'd like to access these tools so that when those states of mind, those states of emotion, those disturbances in the structure come forward, if you'd like to access the tool, it's freely available on our website. Again, www.whyagain.org. And as you access that website, you'll see in the upper left-hand corner, there's a link that says Start Here, or there's actually a big bullseye on the page. You can click that bullseye, and that will take you to a whole series of links. It'll start out with an explanation of where to begin with the process of forgiveness. And it will give you access to radio shows and give you the worksheet process, an explanation of the worksheet process, and a series of radio shows where we have walked somebody 100% from start to finish through the whole reality management or forgiveness process. And so I encourage you to listen to all six of those, and we're working on getting a couple of other shows in line with those. In fact, we're going to ask Dr. Tim if he remembers what day it was that he walked somebody through the worksheet process, and we'll get that one up there as well. And each radio show where we've done that has different nuances, different questions, different ideas that come forward, and a different focus and slant. So if you start listening to those and work through all of them, each one will give you a deeper and deeper understanding of exactly what the Aramaic forgiveness process is about and how to carry it out in your life. And then if you begin to use that and put it to work in your life, the next step is pick up the phone and call us. Let us know what your results look like. Let us know if you have questions, difficulties, challenges with it. What doesn't make sense? What don't you understand? And if you don't understand it the first, second, third, 10th, 20th time, that's great. Just stick with it. As time unfolds, you'll build the brain cells and come into deep, deep levels of comprehension. I know that early in my career of teaching this particular tool from first century Aramaic, I did not have a clue how or why it worked. I just knew it did. It was actually, when I first started teaching it, it was kind of mechanical on my part, and people would come back to me and say, wow, I used that, and man, that's amazing the difference that it made. Really? Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to keep teaching it. And then as time unfolded and over the next 2.5 decades or so, I finally came to where I was able to understand exactly what was being taught by the Aramaic Yeshua in the first century and why and how it worked. If you want to access that, again, there are lots of radio shows you can go through. We do have DVDs and CDs of all of our workshops. We have 15 different DVDs. They're each 2 hours long live with a whiteboard where we explain the tool, whether it's the healing through relationship tools. You know, we had a young man who called into the show back, a year or so ago, and he said that he and his wife had their bags packed, and at the door they were ready to walk out. Enough, it's over, we're done. And she had the courage to say, I just got this DVD. Why don't you sit down before we do this, before we split this family up with 3 children, why don't you sit down and listen to this and watch this with me? a turnaround happened. And within a very short period of time, both he and his wife had come to intensive, stepped into doing deeper and deeper levels of work. In fact, they run a support group now, and, you know, it's over a year ago. And, you know, things aren't perfect in their world. Are they still facing challenges? No doubt about it. I guarantee 10 years from now they'll still be facing challenges. But when you've got the tools to work through the challenges, it makes such a difference. Such a difference. And so we're here to make that kind of difference in your life. And we're delighted that you're here to share with us. Our call-in number, if you have a question or a thought for us, is 646-200-4169, 646-200-4169. Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is with us, and he is on. And Magda's been on from the beginning, and she is on.
Oh, cool. Well, let's say a quick hello to Dr. Tim and see how he be and what he has to share with us.
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Enjoying the intro and the fact that I could get here 2 minutes or 3 minutes late and get my lunch ready. And as you mentioned, it's quite a stretch to have that responsibility. So thank you to you and Jeannie for doing that. And thanks to Michelle for helping this show happen in your absence. You were asking about the date of that worksheet, and all I can think of was that it happened somewhere in the first week of the most recent 2 weeks when you were gone, really out of touch. It was a friend of Michelle's, so maybe Michelle knows, or Michelle knew the person. I think Michelle did.
Okay, well,
Michelle
check in with her.
Who knew the person who called in.
Okay, well, Magda was trying to establish it so we knew which one it was and we could get it put on that set of links on the website. And I know that there was actually one that you did sometime earlier, too, probably a year ago, and it would be nice to catch up with that if anybody knows which one it was. I think there's also one with Jeannie where Jeannie did the show and walked somebody through it. It would be nice to know where each of those ones are and put them in that list because, you know, I have a certain way of explaining and understanding things, and, you know, people who, even in their first exposure to this, speak it back to me, and I go, oh, is that what I said? Thank you for that understanding, because, of course, brain cells fire, and people get different input and different insights, and so, you know, I'd like to make all of those worksheets available in that list so that people have access to them and the opportunity to build the brain cells to really, truly understand just how that forgiveness process works, because it's such a vital, vital tool. I believe that the world is in the disastrous shape that it's in. And, you know, if you look around what's happening between countries, if you look around at what's happening between individuals, there's so much suffering. There is so much pain. There is so much trauma that if we can provide the tool and make a difference in one life, everything will be worth it. Everything will be worth it. So do you have anything on your mind today? Anything you've been seeing in the way of patterns to share? Or?
Well, there were two things. One of them is there's a very common pattern that gets developed in relationships that kind of go awry and develop an abusive pattern in the relationship. And one of those patterns is people thinking, you need to do this so I'll feel better. And you need to stay because we need you here. We want to hear you, you know, sing a song or play drums with us or stay at the support group. Oh, we're going to miss you if you go. Please don't leave. And the phrase I usually try and repeat very succinctly for people is, you are never hurting another person when you do what's good for you. So if I'm tired and I'm not feeling well and I decide to go home and do some good self-care, and somebody says, oh, but I'm going to miss you. Can't you please stay? Or that's not fair. You said you would do this. I'm not hurting someone if I go take care of myself. And the pattern that develops so often in relationships is people thinking that my happiness is going to be created by what someone else says or does. As a matter of fact, one of the people that I have on my Facebook connections posted the 20 secrets to a healthy relationship, and there are several of them that I agree with, and then there's one that says, there's a myth that says other people can't make you happy. And she has a nice, one of her longest paragraphs goes on to say, of course people can make you happy. They can make you ecstatically happy, and let them. And so it's that that misperception, in my opinion, that my happiness can be caused by, or my anger or my fear or my sadness can be caused by what someone else does or doesn't do, that's at the root of one of these very common abusive relationship patterns. So I keep trying to tell people, you are never hurting anyone when you're taking good care of yourself, when you're setting a limit that excludes other abuse, if you don't want to stay and listen to somebody scream nasty things at you, if you're tired and you go home and get some good sleep, if you choose not to go out for beer with somebody because you want to eat healthy, and you're not hurting them no matter what they tell you. And then the other pattern that came up today in sessions was the codependence pattern and people finding themselves dropping into doing the very thing that they hated most that their power person did. So those would be my two inputs for today.
Yeah, that power person one, to understand that is so empowering, to recognize that one with the people around us. I think it certainly helps us to open a space of compassion when we recognize that we've done that, repeated the dynamics from our power person, and that others oftentimes are just unconsciously doing that, and to be in a space of compassion, which is one of the attributes of the true human being that we are, opens a powerful space for healing. And that one of, you know, I'm missing you. I can remember when my kids were small, bringing them up, and that's one that I had come to understand when they were small, and it was just a reality. I just never taught them about missing anything or anybody. So, you know, when we're on the road, we may not see our children for 6 months. Is the first words out of their mouth, oh, I missed you? Or did we say, I missed you? No. It just doesn't happen because it's not something we taught them. We taught them to live as human beings to the best of their ability and make choices that bring aliveness in life. And that came of guilting someone else for having missed them and oftentimes used as a way to control is a pretty bizarre and insane way to do relationships. So I'm in full agreement with you. And, of course, it can appear that others make us happier because if our minds have been trained that when somebody else does this, you know, when we were kids, if our power person said, well, kids, if you do this, then I'll be happy with you, and we did it and our parents were happy, it makes it look like, well, I'm causing their happiness. And so we fall into that belief, and then we tend to perpetrate it. So it certainly appears that way because it's easier to choose happiness if it fits the patterns that your mind holds that help you to choose happiness. And so it can really look like somebody else is the cause, but it really isn't true. And so recognizing that if someone does something and I say, you may be unhappy, the starting point for that conversation, the next piece in that conversation is, and now that I've gone into denial, I'm talking about you being the cause of my unhappiness, I think I'll stop, take a breath, do a worksheet, and I'll go back, and even though you're not doing what I think causes the condition of happiness in my mind, I think I'll choose happiness instead. You know, there's a line in the book where we talk about the old man on his deathbed and the young man who says, you know, and what is it that's told you, or what's empowered you to have such a happy life? And the old man says, well, you know, for years and years I did all the things that people told me would make me happy, and then I just chose to serve life and be happy without all those things. And it is truly, of course, a choice we can make at every moment, regardless of what others do. So, good point, good point. Let's see what Magda has to share with us today. Young lady?
Good morning, I guess, or afternoon. I love that discussion. I've been there so much, and hopefully I don't go to that place too much anymore because of the work I'm doing with the worksheets. But thank you, Dr. Tim and Michael, for that. So the reason I'm calling today is because we had our Laws of Living support group last night. We've been meeting. We've been meeting on a phone conference September, October, and now into November. And so far, we've been reviewing the tools and how to use each of the 10 tools that we learned in the Laws of Living. And we are going to now move into reviewing the content of each of the lessons. So after we finished our meeting last night, we had a little discussion, and a question came up that I'm asking for some other people as well as myself, and it's around using the tool of the verbal links. And I understand, and that's a great tool, I love it, and I do understand that when we hear ourselves say something that indicates to us that there's something less than love in our carbon-based memory, in our unconscious, and we catch that, that we can then form a verbal link to heal that. I wanted to ask a question about using it a different way and see if it's okay. And this came up from a discussion I had with Dr. Tim a couple weeks ago when I discovered that I have been completely addicted to sugar all of my life, and I've been using it to really suppress and deny content that I didn't want to feel. And so Dr. Tim suggested, I was using, I think, some phrase like, I want to be free of sugar, and he pointed out that just including the word sugar in there was going to get me to focus on sugar, and I think that's what it was. Anyhow, he suggested that I develop another healthier way of phrasing it. So this is what I did with my word links. In addition to the other word links I'm working on, I developed two new ones. And the one says, too much sugar equals high blood pressure, which it does for me. I don't know if it does for everybody, but it does for me. And eczema. So that's the one. And then the next one I write is healthy food equals healthy body. And when I write that one, and I'm feeling it right now, I just get chills. There's so much joy and excitement writing that and saying that. So I wanted to check with you and see if that is an appropriate way to use the negative and the positive around the same subject area.
Yeah, I think you're right on. And, you know, one of the ideas is to recognize that, you know, words, this is one of the core concepts in Laws of Living, is that words can moderate or change the attractiveness of a behavior or the internal response to a stimulus. And so using words, verbal links, to create a push that moves us away from certain behaviors is an appropriate way to use the mind. And so the one that that says, you know, too much sugar, and I noticed that you're still leaving room for sugar there, because it's not sugar equals the eczema and the high blood pressure, it's too much sugar. You might want to throw out the words too much, and you might want to get to the point where you literally simply remove sugar from your life, period, 100%, might be useful, and that there are healthier sweeteners that you can use, And as you use those, and, you know, maybe ultimately, because most sweeteners are fractionated foods, they're less than whole, perhaps ultimately, removing all fractionated foods and just making it whole foods, something that's truly, completely a food, is that which has all of the components that came with it when it came out of the ground. And, you know, it's a shock to some people
to recognize that food comes from the ground. I debated about that, Michael, so I know you got something there. I originally said sugar, period, equals high blood pressure and eczema. And then I went, I don't know if I can get rid of all of it. Maybe I'll just start with too much. The other thing is I do use healthy sweeteners, and I still think it's possible to use too much healthy sweeteners. In other words, honey or maple syrup. If I overdo that, it's still too much sweetness in the body.
Yes. The natural quantity of sweetness that comes, and you know, recognizing that one of the things that's happened is that food manufacturers, which of course itself is an oxymoron, food manufacturers have recognized that genetically we are programmed that when something is sweet, it means nutrition is high. You know, Chuck was talking about the Brixey meter, and basically you take a plant, you take a, you know, whether it's a pea pod or whatever it is, and you check the sugar levels, and when the sugar levels are at their peak, that's when it's at peak nutrition. And so we're predisposed to think of that sweetness as being complete nutrition. And so the people who've taken the sweetness out of those foods through some artificial means and then added them in huge quantities back to other foods that are not so, you know, our bodies would say, ew, I'm not putting that in my mouth. That tastes terrible. You add enough sugar and it becomes acceptable because it satisfies that part of us that unconsciously knows that peak sugar is peak nutrition, but it's peak natural sugar that comes within the food as a result of its growth, maturity, and ripening. It's not just by adding that isolated sweetener that's been taken away from, taken out of some other food and had the nutrients removed and left with something empty and void.
Right. Excellent understanding of it, yes. Okay, well, sir, do you think I'm on track? Oh, excuse me?
Yeah, I think you're right on track. I was just going to add that I got an email from a friend recently that was pointing me to some research that was done at a university where they used Oreos beside cocaine with rats in a trap setting. And when the rats ran a particular maze, they would get a shot of cocaine or they'd get an Oreo cookie. And the rats who became addicted to cocaine gave up their addiction to cocaine for Oreos.
I believe it. I really do. Because of the information that you have shared recently, since I don't know when, I guess I first heard it this summer, about sugar and the research they've been doing and how addictive it is, it's because of that I began to actually look at my dependence on sugar as an absolute addiction. And Dr. Tim was right on when he said when I deal with the underlying reasons, the underlying issues and pain that I'm using the sugar to avoid, that my desire for sugar will diminish. And indeed, it's true. It's absolutely true. Thank you, Dr. Tim. That's what this work does. That's what these forgiveness worksheets have the power to do. I don't know if you weren't here, Michael, so I'll just say this real quickly, and there might be people listening today who didn't hear it on another day when I shared with Dr. Tim and Michelle. I was in such a frazzle one day wanting to get myself a sugar fix and had the candy in my hand. And another part of me knew that what I really needed to do was to get a worksheet and forgive whatever it was that was that I was working, that I was trying to avoid. And so I just decided, okay, I got to go for it. I don't want to keep doing the same thing I've always done because I'll get the same results. So instead of just eating the sugar like I usually do and avoiding the worksheet, I'm going to sit down and do this worksheet. And I did it while I ate the candy. That was the only way at that moment that I could get myself to eat the candy. I mean, to do a worksheet. And it was great. It was great because when I did that, I came up with some information that would not have been available to me in any other way. It was information that basically, I don't care, because whenever I've been in the throes of the sugar demanding, no, my self-demanding that I have a sugar fix, and it's been so very strong. What I have said to myself literally thousands of times, maybe more than that, maybe millions over my lifetime is, I don't care. Right now, I just don't care. I just want to experience the pleasure that this is going to give me. I know it's momentary, and I don't care. And that got me into a whole deep, wonderful healing process around the I don't care, I don't care about myself, and it turned out to be a power person thing from my father, blah, blah, blah. It just went on and on. It was great. So, the worksheet can be powerful, even if we're using our addictions at the moment that we do the worksheet. It was great.
Right. Well, my highest thought for you is the next time that you feel a desire or a need for sweetness in your life is tap into the truth of who you are, tap into the sweetness of your human beingness and just be in that sweetness. You know, I mentioned the other day the film that we saw the day after we got home entitled About Time, and it really is, you know, if you just kind of go with the whole flow of it. It's about tapping into the sweetness of life and what it's designed to be. And if we're not living there, you know, if of course our mind has always got somebody to blame. Well, the only reason I don't have sweetness in my life is because of what my spouse does or what my mother does or what my child does or what my boss does. No, if we don't have sweetness in our lives, the only reason is because we've given up the truth of who we are and what life is designed to be. You know, if you listen to that creation story, we were put into the Garden of Eden where everything was there. And that's a metaphor in a sense, but in a sense it's absolutely true. We've been given everything we need to have that awesome presence of love provide all the sweetness that we choose to have. And if our mind has been taught dissatisfaction and it has to be different, then we lose the ability to live in that sweetness of the present moment. So for me, that film About Time was a good example of just really tapping into the sweetness of what this game of life is designed for and choosing to live in that and create that rather than to create the patterns of the generations.
Great. I look forward to seeing that movie. And you are so right on about, you know, the reason we don't have it is because we've denied being aware of who we truly are.
Yep.
Thank you. Well, that
all right, young lady.
Me. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, much appreciation and love. All right.
And love back
you
to you all. Yes, indeed. You as well. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
And Michelle is now on, and she has her hand up.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Michelle.
Hey there, young lady. Are you with us, Michelle?
Yes, I'm here.
Away from the phone.
I'm there.
She is.
I heard my name earlier, and so that's why I put my hand up, because it sounds like Dr. Tim had asked a question about something about last week.
Dr. Tim, did you have a question for Michelle?
It was just a question about trying to figure out who was the person who called in and wanted help with a worksheet, and we ended up working through most of the worksheet. And was that in our last week or the week before last?
I think it was
2 weeks ago.
What was the
worksheet? It was either someone that you knew or someone that Susan Darnell knew who had a question about the worksheet. They were stuck. And we ended up going through
our
process.
I think it was Patsy then.
Process.
If that's what you're talking about, it was Patsy in North Carolina.
And what we're trying to establish, and maybe we can do that outside of the show, is we're trying to establish what date that was so that we can put that particular MP3 in the list of worksheets so that people can easily access full worksheet processes and listen to all the nuances as they're learning to use the worksheet. So if you happen to think of that, perhaps you could let us know.
Sure, no problem.
Cool. All right, well, now that you're here, do you have anything else to share with us in the insight?
Insight in terms of the commitment that you guys make, Dr. Tim references, and you've talked about it, that being available on the ready at 12:59 every day is a commitment that Parn on, and I respect you so deeply for making it and doing it. I have developing my time management skills, and it was very helpful because it gave me a lot to look at over the last 6 weeks.
Oh, good. Cool. Well, we're glad to be of service.
I definitely. And I was tickled today. The mute button came in more importantly than ever because at 1 o'clock I was just getting out of the shower and brushing my teeth and dressing and potty and all that stuff and listening to the show and not having to worry about the switchboard. So it was actually very relaxing and enjoyable. So it just amused me because, you can't really do that when you're managing your text and your laptop and the microphone and paying attention to the conversation all at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
So anyways.
Cool. Well,
thank you so much.
We appreciate the fact that you came to do it and gave us a space to accomplish what we accomplished in that trip in Europe.
Wonderful. So most of my time now is just prepping to get ready for 1 week for Showtime with Jeannie and Pompano Beach, and I'm really looking forward to that. Focused and trying to clear as much as I can so that I can take it to another level over the weekend.
Cool. Well, we'll get to see you next Thursday in Pompano.
Very good. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.
Thanks again, Michelle. And we have Lady Jane has her hand up. Hi. How are you doing?
Well, let's say hello.
I'm getting better and better every day. I really am. It's wonderful. I decided
awesome.
I would take on Michael and Dr. Tim on a subject because I want to. One was, it's about happiness, and I was thinking about, are you still giving flowers to Jeannie on a regular basis, Michael?
We do when we are somewhere long enough to take advantage of it, yes.
Okay. Now, when you give her those flowers, is she happy that you did that? I'll ask Jeannie that. Jeannie, it make you happy?
It doesn't make me happy, but it brings up pleasure that's already in me. It brings up happiness in me.
Well, that's a good
way
to
put it. The happiness is inside of me already. There's nothing outside of, we often talk to people about doing worksheets. Most people will do worksheets on things that trigger their anger or fear or whatever. Well, once you get rid of all of the negative stuff, then we tell them, now do worksheets on the positive stuff, because if you think something outside of you makes you happy or joyful or satisfied or whatever, it's really the same thing. You're putting the responsibility for whatever you're experiencing outside of you and taking your own power away. And so you can actually do a worksheet on, Michael giving me flowers, and that my thought is that the feeling is pleasure or happiness, and the thought is, him giving me flowers makes me happy. And then work down through that, and then what I might come up with is that, there's times in my life that maybe I think I'm only happy when somebody's giving me something or doing something for me. And what I can realize is that, I can be happy even if nobody's doing anything for me.
Okay, that's a very good way of putting that. I never heard it said that way, and I got what you said. I also believe, or at some level, that in relationships, there is a lot of that that goes back and forth about you make me happy, no, you don't, you make me mad, no, you don't, all that. That's probably one of the greatest testing grounds to me. I don't have a relationship right now, and I've never been happier because I don't have all that stuff to work on 24/7.
Right. And one of the things that happened.
He called me and said hello, and I was mad. Just the word hello. I mean, that's crazy, but I was crazy. We were both crazy. But anyway, I feel a lot saner now. But what a I think it takes a tremendous amount of work, like you guys do this all the time, to build up to what she said, Jeannie just said, about that being inside and recognizing it. That's a big step, and I'm glad I brought it up, because I hadn't heard that answer, but in the back of my mind I remember now that worksheets can be done on the positive.
Well, Jane, segment on the radio while Michael and Jeannie were gone on that very thing. It was near the end of one of the shows, and Michelle brought up that she was just so elated and excited because she's gotten these affirmations from clients that were telling her how much they appreciated all the work she'd done for them.
I remember.
So we did a segment. You might want to go back and check on that. I think it was a week ago Thursday or a week ago Friday near the end of the show. And, you know, maybe Michelle can call in or unmute herself and say something about what got
the reason I'm bringing it up because I suppose somebody new had joined in and wasn't all familiar with that. It would sound, you know, almost impossible when stated that way. Now, I certainly know that, let's suppose I'm married to an alcoholic, which I'm not, but was. And they had been sober for a couple of years and came home drunk. Now, I'm sure that would make me unhappy, even though I'm not responsible for what he did. But if you're in a relationship with me and you're breaking contracts with me, it's hard to say, let me dance through the tulips on this one. Follow me?
Well, there's a little, and there aren't just those two options, Jane. I recognize that if I, you know, had an alcoholic spouse and there was all kinds of trouble and problems and they're staying sober and things are going well and all of a sudden they come home drunk one day, that would not make me unhappy. But if I've got unhappiness in me, if I've got fear about their behavior in me, it would certainly resonate and bring it up. And in fact, holding that very fear would tend to become one of the unconscious messages that would, quote-unquote, drive them to drink. It would support them going out and getting drunk. And so as I recognize that I have unhappiness that seems to be about this, the unhappiness is really about the content of my mind. And so I can clean up that level of unhappiness. And certainly all of that said, life is a whole lot easier and a whole lot more fun when we get to play as adults and to interact with each other, keeping our agreements, being sane with each other. Being the presence of love certainly makes it easier to choose happiness and aliveness and joy. And the truth is, I can choose those things even in the midst of the mud pie game that some people play with each other.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I also, you brought up that point that the enabler, you know, is harder a lot of times to work through than the victim when it comes to any sort of addicts. You know, I might have been, say, an enabler with that person. But that was a good point of holding a space of love. And the more we do that, maybe the less likely that person would be willing to go out and break that contract. But if they did, you know, they were responsible. I get that. These are very good points today. And I can tell how much better I feel because I'm ready to take you all on.
All right. But that's the
Jane
I know, and I'm delighted to hear it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that a month ago. I would have been doing well to listen. But anyway, that's great.
Right.
But those are very good points. Jeannie's going to do great on that. She's got such a, as well as you. I didn't But how great those women are going to be to get that.
I wish I could be a fly on the wall, you know. I have threatened to shave my legs and buy a wig, and Jeannie says she'll still recognize me, and she's still not going to let me in. So I guess I'm not going to get to do it, but I would love to be a fly on the wall because it's going to be pretty awesome. She's got a film selected for Saturday night, and it's a surprise, so we won't elucidate, but maybe after the workshop she can share some of the results of this film and how it fit into the weekend. I'm very excited to be hearing the reports of how it unfolds.
Right. And we plan on sharing on Friday during the radio show, too. We will start on Thursday night of next week. So on Friday, Michelle's also going to be here. So between all of us that are here, we're going to be sharing what's happened up to Friday afternoon. And then, of course, then the next Monday you can hear the rest of it. But we're all excited about it right now. The number has increased to 14. And yeah. So for my first intensive, I'm very pleased because I had originally said 12. And so it's exciting, and it's going to be powerful. There's some very powerful women that are going to be here, and I've got the schedule laid out, but I'm leaving it open for Spirit to move it if it goes in a different direction.
Oh, good. That's going to be so exciting. These always are. At one time in my life, and I still, in the back of my head, I've always wanted to do a seminar for men only. You know, just the woman being there that's older, and supporting them in places that they don't know about. There's a lot of those places.
We would support you setting that up. You know, Jane, perhaps that's something next summer you might want to do at Heartland, and we'd support you in doing that.
Yeah, I would like to, and I should be very, very, very well by then. So.
Okay,
yeah,
well, why don't you put that in the hopper and think about it? We could add it to the schedule. We've already got 73 days next summer, and so we could add that to the schedule.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, that would be so much fun to me. I've always wanted to do that because
being
the age I am, men tend to open up more, you know, like a mother thing.
Right. Well, we could call it Lady Jane and Her Harem.
Oh, I love that. That'd be great, as long as I didn't get involved with anyone. Okay, I love that. That's cool. Okay, that's it for me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing.
Okay, we appreciate you a lot. Hold you in a blessing.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Jeannie,
right.
Anything happening in the chat room? Or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
We have some conversations going on in the chat room, but no questions. Sunny is on the line, and she has her hand up. So welcome, Sunny.
Hi there. Just a couple of quick offerings, if I may, today, Michael, Jeannie. In reflection of this You Make Me Happy concept, something that I learned and was offered to me very, very long time ago was, I love what I allow myself with you. Changes the dynamic, and it's a whole shift of energy of that sense of, you know, taking responsibility. And I love what I allow myself with you. And another aspect we can use in the worksheet process, either way of you make me happy or you make me mad or sad or what have you, is thank you for reflecting. And it feels, for myself, and it feels so good when you, in the look and the expressions, you responses you often get from people when they bless you or say something kind or whatnot, and you respond to them with thank you for reflecting, is oftentimes quite profound. So that's kind of a fun thing that I just wanted to offer everyone today, of maybe changing that vocabulary with yourself or with others, and that I love what I allow myself with you, and thank you for reflecting. And then Mazda has always been wonderful to chime in and be of such beautiful assistance in extending her love to me. I just, to confirm your last statements with her, Michael, Mazda, you are sweet enough. And then in my own experience with my early sugar addictions in my teens and early 20s, which was creating some serious health issues, I traced it back to my Native American heritage and alcoholism in my generation, and was able to address it and heal it in that way. So if that helps you at all, if things true. And for the time on the clock, I love you. I appreciate you, and I hope that along with myself, others are planning to, that are able to, looking very forward to the workshop with Rex on Sunday.
Awesome.
So,
and Rex is doing the Sunday service at Unity in Lansing. I don't know, is Rex on the line by any chance, Jeannie?
I don't see him on there.
No? Okay. Well, we'll just let everybody know that Unity in Lansing is going to be hosting Rex.
Yes, he is. He just held his hand up. Rex, you're on.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Sonny.
Hey there, good sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing fantastic. Good program from what I've heard of it. I was only able to catch the last 20 minutes, but been chock full of information. And, yes, I am doing the talk and the church service at 10:30 at the Unity of Lansing, and the title of the
talk. What's
the
title of your talk?
The Laws of Living.
All right.
And it was a kind of a tongue-in-cheek joke that was asked me, you're going to do a talk on the laws of living and you're only going to talk for 20 minutes? It's like, well, let me just say I'll just open it up. And that's all I'm going to do with the laws of living. So that'll be the talk, and then the workshop will be following the service from 12:30 to 5, and it will be experience pure joy by embracing your inner child and the still point breathing workshop. So it's exciting. We've got a great response. We've got people coming from Chicago area. We've got people coming from Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan. And then quite a few from the surrounding area. So we've got 15, I think we have pre-registered.
Indiana.
16. So, yep, Indiana. Yep, Sunny's coming as well. So it'll be great to share some space with her as well. So we're excited. So everybody's welcome to join us.
Cool. And what are the hours going to be, Rex, for your workshop?
The workshop will start at 12:30 and we'll go from 12:30 to 5. And
you're going to cram a lot in there if you're going to get still points in there, too. That's going to be a pretty intense process.
It is going to be intense, and that's the kind of the conversation I was having with Ruka this morning. It's like, okay, Ruka, I kind of got guided to do it this way. This is the time frame. And the response is like, yeah, you're just going to have to manage your desire to talk.
Well, I don't. That's courageous. I don't usually do a still point workshop without at least 10 hours. So we'll look forward to hearing the result of how it goes. It'll be the energy will be moving for sure.
Well, we've got a lot of support and people are coming. The way we're setting it up is we're going to be doing one breathing session. So I won't be doing as much as normally is done with the. Starting the breathing process. So there'll be some corners that we'll be cutting a little bit out of, but, you know, it's what the inspiration was to offer, and I am, and I'm excited about it, and the turnout's been great.
Awesome.
So it's all coming together.
Fabulous.
Thanks for asking. I appreciate Sonny mentioning it.
All right. Well, that's awesome. We're down to just a few seconds, so we're going to have to close the show out. Sunday, Lansing, Michigan at the Unity Center, and 10:30 in the morning, and then workshop at 12:30, I believe you said. So make sure that you put that on your calendar if you're in the Lansing area. And Jeannie just told me that Susan contacted her and did find out what show it was that Dr. Tim walked Patsy through a worksheet, and so she'll get that on the website right away so that if you want to give it a listen, it'll be there and available. And remember, the greatest contribution you can make to the world is have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.